You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Tuesday, March 19th, 2019, and this is the Locked On Jets podcast. If you are a fan of the New York Jets football team, this is a podcast for you. Hopefully you enjoy it. If you are an airline pilot who has lost your keys and is now stuck in your cockpit and looking for a podcast telling you what to do, we had a little mix-up then, and hopefully you'll still enjoy it, but we can't really help you with your situation. Anyway, Jets make a small move on Monday. It's a relatively minor signing. They bring in an offensive lineman from the Minnesota Vikings. It is a guy who started 14 games at guard for the Vikings in 2018, Tom Compton. It's not a move that I think is going to fix what's wrong with the offensive line for the Jets. I don't think Compton's going to be a starter. I think he's going to be a backup. But I would say that I think that this is a pretty solid move. Now, Lucas Braun, who is the host of the Locked On Vikings podcast, actually sent me an email with a little note about Compton's play. So I'll share what he had to say. And I actually agree. From what I know about this guy, now Lucas probably knows more because he watched Compton all year. From what I know about this guy, this was all kind of what I thought anyway. He says, Tom Compton is primarily a right guard, even though he played the left side in Minnesota. He's underrated pretty heavily by Vikings fans, which isn't helped by a couple of disastrous games against Aaron Donald and Akeem Hicks. He suffered a knee injury in the middle of 2018, and you can definitely see its impact on tape and in his production. Overall, he's consistent as an interior lineman, save for a game or two every year where he falls apart. This has followed him through Washington and Chicago. On the whole, his performance last year was not quite up to par for a starting guard. Against the standard of a backup, he's an excellent insurance policy. So that's kind of my thoughts when the Jets signed him. I was kind of in that boat where I felt like this was probably not a starter, and I don't think the Jets brought him in to be a starter. I think Osemele's obviously going to be a starter at left guard, and I don't think he's going to push Winters at right guard. I think he's more of a backup, and if he's, I'm just throwing it out there. I think Pro Football Focus had him somewhere in like the mid-40s, which, I mean, I don't love the PFF ratings, to be honest with you, but let's say for the sake of argument, he's in the mid-40s of guards in the league. That's bad as a starter because 64 guards. But if you have a guy who's in the mid-40s as your backup, that's pretty good. That's pretty much a low-end starter as a backup, which, that's not bad. And, I mean, I thought about the recent Jets history, the last few years with the Jets where we've said going into the season that the Jets do not have a great starting offensive line, but if any of their starters go down, it's over for them. We've said that for years because they just had zero depth. So, and I mean, they've had guys who on their best day, they're bad. And there are a lot of guys who, generally speaking, are borderline unplayable when you're talking about Quale, when you're talking about Ben Ajalana, when you're talking about Harrison, when you're talking about these are just guys who you can't play. So to get a guy who's at least somewhat credible, a guy who is going to struggle against the elite competition but will hold his own, for a couple weeks, I mean, that's kind of what I'm looking for in a backup, a guy I can trust for a couple weeks. So I think a good move, a move that probably upgrades the depth on the roster, which, I mean, the Jets need depth in a lot of places. The Jets have upgraded their roster in free agency. They've upgraded their starters in a lot of areas, but this is still a team that's really, really lacking depth in a lot of areas. So go out and get a guy who could probably start for a lot of teams in the league to be your backup. Now, I don't love the starters on the offensive line, but I think that this is a pretty solid move for the Jets. I think this is the type, this is a kind of an under-the-radar move. In an ideal world, everybody stays healthy and plays well next year in 2019, and we don't even think about it, but, offensive line's an area where you suffer injuries a lot. I mean, it's really tough to make it through a full season unscathed on the offensive line because it's not just about durability. It's not just about, a guy can roll your leg. It'll have nothing to do with you. You're not even paying attention. Guy rolls up on your leg and you suffer a serious injury. I mean, you think about Nick Mangold was one of the most durable linemen you can come up with. I mean, he suffered a couple injuries that knocked him out of games in his career. So you need quality backups in the NFL. And I think that this is a step up. And I'm happy because, I was, for the same reasons I was complaining about the Jets bringing Jonathan Harrison back. Look, the Jets did not have good backups last year on the offensive line. Jets did not have great starters, and I still think you could argue they still don't have great starters. But they had backups who just could not play. So you brought in a backup who can play at least. It's a small move. It's not a move that, you know, nobody's going to say Jets signed Compton. Now they're Super Bowl favorites. Now this team's in great shape. You know, now this team's, now we're really rolling. But this time of year, it's like one of those small moves. Now, hopefully you can find some starters this time of year as well. But it's also the moves like this, the moves where you're not, I'm assuming, I don't have any details yet about Compton's salary as a backup. I'm assuming it's not going to be very much money. And again, I'm under the assumption he's not coming to, I think we all know with Osemele's track record that he's a starter. I can't imagine a guy who's been to the Pro Bowl as much as Osemele has not being a starter. So the question is, did they bring Compton in to compete with Winters? My hunch is probably not. My hunch is that you'll see Compton back up the two guard slots. I mean, there's some rumors this guy has played. He's bounced around the league. He's been in the league since 2012. I think the Jets will be team number five for him, so he's kind of a journeyman. Bounced around quite a bit. Has some experience at tackle. I mean, I'm not as sold with him at tackle. Now, you're a backup offensive lineman. You're typically going to want them to be able to play multiple positions. I think Compton is probably my hunch, and this is my guess right now. We'll wait to hear what the Jets have to say. We'll wait to see how things shake out, training camp, preseason. My hunch is that this is a guy who is going to be the primary backup at both guard spots, both left guard and right guard. That's kind of what if you're asking me, John, guess what Compton's role is going to be. I'm going to say he's probably going to back up both guard spots. Could he conceivably be a backup at right tackle? Maybe. I don't love him as much there, to be honest with you. I think, you know, he's a guy, but he's a guy who I think could help this team as a backup. I think this is a pretty, it shows you the nature of how crazy I must be, how crazy you, that I'm talking, that I've gone on for all these minutes about a guy who's a backup guard. And maybe it says something about you that you've been listening to me talk all about a backup guard for this long, but a move that I think is a pretty solid under-the-radar move for the Jets. You know, and I think that, you know, one of the things that just bugged me about this team is that they just keep bringing back the same bad backups over and over, so I'm glad to see a little new blood in there. And a guy with at least a track record of credible play, even if you can't trust him for 16 games, even if you can't trust him for against the elite competition, At least they brought in somebody with a track record of credible play to be a backup on this offensive line. So it's a small step, but a small step in the right direction, I think. Locked On Jets podcast here on this Tuesday. And today I wanted to kind of review free agency a little bit. I wanted to review one aspect of free agency. The Jets were big spenders, or have been big spenders this year. And yeah, it's not over yet. We'll still see some signings over the next couple days, the next couple weeks, probably even the next couple months. We'll see the Jets bring guys in. So it's not over, but I think for the most part, we've kind of wrapped things up. Most of the guys who have been signed, most of the guys who are going to be signed and who are going to play a big role on the Jets have been signed. So on today's show, what I want to do is take a look back at the three positions that I think the Jets have done the best job improving in free agency. And I'm going to kind of roll my first area is I'm kind of combining positions, but It's one of the spots on the team that I've talked about as one of the primary needs heading into free agency, that something that I needed to address, and that's just playmakers on offense. So you can bunch running backs, receivers, tight ends. You can bunch them all into that group. And I felt like this was an area the Jets really needed to upgrade. And I'm pleased with what the Jets have done in terms of adding extra weapons around Sam Darnold. And let me explain to you where I'm coming from is that there was a very limited supply of playmakers available in free agency this year. Very limited supply. Not really a whole lot the Jets could do. If you asked me entering free agency, what do you think the Jets could do? I would say, well, Le'Veon Bell is probably the one premium playmaker who's available in free agency, unless you want to go trade. See, you could not have traded. I don't think the Giants would have traded Beckham to the Jets. I don't think Odell would have come to. I would have made a deal for Odell. You know, I've talked about my trepidation about Antonio Brown, but I would have made a deal for, if the Giants made Odell Beckham available to me, I absolutely would have. I mean, he certainly made that offense a lot better with the Giants. And, you know, I've had some concerns about Beckham in the past, but, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, this is a guy who I kind of feel like I was always left it all on the field, unlike an Antonio Brown, who's, you know, guy who's been disappeared from his team. I mean, Beckham has some issues, you know, he can be a bit of a tough guy to handle, but at the end of the day, I mean, he brings it every Sunday, whereas Brown sat out a critical game for the Steelers. But the Giants were never going to trade Beckham to the Jets, so it's a moot point. So really the only premium offensive talent was Le'Veon Bell. I did not love this receiver market. So, I mean, really what you were looking at is potentially adding a modest upgrade on Jermaine Kearse. I mean, there were really not many premium receivers left. And I would also like a good dynamic tight end. You know, if you could find a nice receiving tight end to pair with Chris Herndon, create a little few matchup problems that way. Now, they've not gotten the tight end part done yet. I'm still hoping that they figure out something on that front. But overall, I mean, they've done as much as I thought they could do outside of the tight end. I mean, they added Bell, who is now going to be the centerpiece of this offense. He's going to be the guy. And as I understand Adam Gase's system, Gase seems to like the do-it-all back, the guy who stays on the field three downs. And there are not many of those backs in today's NFL. Bell is one of them. Bell is a premium pass catcher. And, you know, he's a guy who can, to an extent, make up for lack of quality on the offensive line because he's good. He's paid, you know, I mean, there are some traits that just become synonymous with a player, you know, whether it's good or bad. You know, Chad Pennington and then later Ryan Fitzpatrick in the next generation became synonymous with a lack of arm strength in this fan base. Everybody, you talked about either of those guys, all you ever heard about was the lack of arm strength. Whereas some players have become synonymous with a positive trait, like a DeSean Jackson with speed or Tyreek Hill with a speed. So Bell is synonymous with patience. You know, everybody talks about his patience as a back. And one of the things that patience allows you to do is it allows him to kind of compensate for having an offensive line that isn't as... Now, look, I don't know that the Jets are going to want to go to battle with the offensive line they got right now. I think that's a little dicey. I'd like to see them still upgrade the offensive line, but that's a topic for another show. But I think, you know, if you watch the way Bell reads angles on blocks really well, he knows he can kind of foresee how the blocks are going to hit, so he can kind of adjust his route as a ball carrier in that when because of his vision. He's also he's a tremendous receiving threat out of the backfield. You know, it's, you know, one of the top receiving backs in the league, so it'll help Sam Darnold out that way. And then Jamison Crowder, I think he's not a guy who changes an offense, but he's a nice little weapon to have. And I talked a little bit about it the day the Jets signed him. A guy who makes, I think, the offense a little more versatile because now you can move Quincy and Nunwa around, and you still know you have Crowder in the slot. And you can still put a Nunwa. If you like a Nunwa in the slot, if you like the matchup with a Nunwa in the slot, you can still take Crowder off the field. I think he'll help from the standpoint that, you know, he'll be involved in the screen game. He's got some skills with the ball in his hands, ability to make some plays in that respect. So Gase will work him into the screen game. So, you know, I'd like to see the Jets add a tight end. I'd like to see them add a premium receiving prospect. I still think this group of receivers needs a go-to guy, which could only come in the draft. I don't think there were any available in free agency this year. But I think that this is they've done a pretty good job, I think, on this front. You know, they could not go into 2019 with the same group that they had in 2018. You know, you got to support your young quarterback, and Bell in particular. I mean, look, there's gambles involved. I mean, this is a risky signing in some respects, but I think it's a risk the Jets had to take because the way Bell can potentially help Sam Darnold is immense. He certainly, I mean, you look at what I compare this to what Todd Gurley's done for Jared Goff. And by the way, I would argue, and I know I'm going to catch some heat from any Rams fans listening, I think that Sam Darnold's a better prospect than Jared Goff was. I'm going to say that. I think Sam Darnold, after year one, I like having Sam Darnold better than I would have liked having Jared Goff after year one. Now, we'll see. Can Sam reach those heights? Can Sam reach his potential? I'm not sure. But will he? I don't know. But I think he's got the world is the sky is the limit for Sam Darnold. And I think that Bell can help unlock a lot for Sam Darnold. He certainly can take some of the playmaking load off Sam's shoulder. So I think the Jets have done a good job this offseason. We still got to look at the draft. But I think so far, I think they've done just about. Maybe they can do a little more. And there's still time to do a little bit more in this, you know, second phase of free agency. But I think they've done a pretty good job on that front. Locked On Jets podcast, talking today about the areas that are improved on the Jets. Now, I think these three areas I'm going to talk about today are pretty obvious. The first one, I talked about the playmakers. Second one, I'm just going to talk left guard. And look, left guard was a mess last year for the Jets. Left guard's been a mess the last 2 years for the Jets. Carpenter's performance kind of declined after a quality first two seasons with the Jets. He played well 2015, 2016. Last year's 2 years were not good. And then you know, he left the lineup, he got a little banged up, and then Spencer Long moved over, and it was, well, let's be honest, it was a horror show when Spencer Long was in there. It was just ugly. Spencer Long, and I, it's one of the things that I think people missed, is that Spencer Long really was not that good at left guard after he moved from center mid-year. Now, people focus on the snap. Now, the bad snaps went away from Spencer Long because he wasn't snapping anymore because he was playing guard instead of center. But Long's issues were not just about snapping the football. And this is the thing that I think people miss at the center position. Center's not just about snapping the football. Long was also missing blocks at a rate that, when he was playing center, was arguably higher than Wesley Johnson. He was arguably missing more blocks than Wesley Johnson. I mean, it was amazing how many times I'd look back and see that Spencer Long missed block had led to the destruction of a play. So that's not, you know, that's not any good. Osemele, the Jets acquire him for a very cheap trade for the Raiders. They trade a 5 for a 6 and get Osemele. Coming off a down year, you know, coming off a year where he's banged up. And, you know, there are some questions, you know, is he in decline a little bit? I don't know. I mean, he's not that old. And, I mean, the other thing is he still was a decent pass protector. And for me, pass protection is pretty important right now. I mean, if I have to choose one of the two, well, I want both. I don't want to have to choose one of the two, but if I have to choose one of the two, I'd probably choose pass protection, especially in the middle of the line, because you want to protect the young quarterback. If you leave Sam up, you know, if you give Sam time, he's going to be great. I really think he's going to be great if you give him time. So adding a good pass protector at left guard. Now, we're going to talk in future shows about some of the other areas that still need to be upgraded, but I think that as much as anything, you know, even if Osemele doesn't bounce back as a run blocker, which he might, and if he does, then he's a top guard in the league. Then the Jets have added a top guard in the league. But even if they didn't, this is still a guy I trust in pass protection. Famous last words, I know. I've talked about guys I was excited about in the past. You know, we're going on 3 years on this show, and I mean, there are some guys I've been excited about who did not pan out. But I this is a guy who I think will help the offense quite a bit. I think it'll help Sam quite a bit. It makes me feel better knowing that this guy is going to be at left guard next year just from pass protection. If he bounces back, the Jets have an elite guard. So I think that's an area that's been upgraded. And then third, and this will be the last position I talk about, is the linebacker position. And look, I have issues with the C.J. Mosley contract. I can't tell you that I don't. I have a lot of problems with the resource allocation, with the amount of money that's being overpaid, with the focus on the position over other more premium areas. But let's be honest, C.J. Mosley, I don't think there's any way to deny that C.J. Mosley is an upgrade and a rather large upgrade over Darren Lee. And, you know, I think with Lee, we're doing what we always try and do. You know, we don't want to believe that that a Jets draft pick is a bust, because we've seen so many. We want to just take any positive signs. We want to believe in a guy. We don't want to believe he's a bust. So we just unless you're Golston, unless you're Hackenberg, we try and remember the positive. We try and focus on the positive. At least third year was better than the first two, but the first two were really bad, and the third was just kind of okay, and it ended with a suspension. And he still has a lot of the issues in the run game being wiped out. I mean, lots of big runs are still on his plate. So the fact you add Mosley there, I mean, it's certainly going to improve the defense. You'll certainly see this Jets defense get gashed less in the run game, because Lee gets wiped out on him. Too many times Lee overran a play or got wiped out on a play. You know, Mosley will help in that respect. He's a tremendous run defender, and he's not a horrible cover guy. And, you know, I think with Lee, another thing I'd point out is that, you know, Lee's Pro Football Focus grades were really good in coverage. But here's the thing, this is one of the reasons I say you cannot use those grades 1 to 100 as gospel, because they're playing up. I mean, if you look at broken down game by game, a lot of those grades are just based on a couple interceptions. A couple interceptions where he did his job, but those are opportunities that really are not going to present themselves. Not so much that they're not going to present themselves, but they're dependent on the quarterback making a mistake. And they did not present themselves earlier in Lee's career. Will they present themselves next year? You can't guarantee that, because they're partly, but there's also a lot of it just the offense failing to execute. On a play-to-play basis, his coverage was not as great, I think, as his PFF grade would indicate. I think his PFF grade is indicating what he did, but it's not indicating how sustainable it is, because a lot of that grade was based on some big plays he made where he was assisted by the offense. So I don't want to say he was bad overall in coverage. I mean, I think he took a step forward, but he's a guy, you're talking about a first-round pick, you got to be disappointed in what you've gotten out of him. I don't think there's any way around it. I think he's been a very disappointing first-round pick. And I think Mosley is a guy who's, look, I think linebacker, the traditional linebacker position in the NFL, the top tier is a tier of two people. It's a tier of Luke Kuechly and Bobby Wagner. I think Mosley is clearly in that second tier. He might even be at the top. You could make an argument. I would not laugh at you if you told me he's at the top of the second tier. You know, he's a player who's going to help the Jets. I think that this is not a situation where you're going to have a Trumaine Johnson where a guy's going to come in and be a total zero. I think this is a guy who's going to come in and play effective football. Now, the question is going to be, is the resource allocation commensurate with what he's going to provide you? But that's a question for another day. The question today is, what areas have the Jets improved? And I think that that's an area where the Jets have, I think there's no question the Jets have improved at linebacker. You know, they think that there are a number of aspects to these signings. Some are good, some are bad. I think the pure question of have the Jets improved their talent level by bringing this player in, answer is a clear yes. That's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Have a great Tuesday, everybody, and we'll be back again tomorrow with some more Jets talk.